The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Hello and welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. Look at this. Craig Burley, Shaka Hissel, and Stevie Nicol all in the studio. We'll kick things off with something we discussed yesterday. In case you missed it, two Dutch legends not pulling any punches, talking about Van Dijk's performance against France and overall in an international shirt of late. Here's what Marco van Basten had to say. He's not clear. A good captain thinks aloud, makes it clear what is going on. He stays in between. He creates chaos. There is nothing to do with that injury. This has to do with leadership. He makes noise, but he says nothing. That's true. This is in you. This is wanting to win at all costs. Ruud Gullit then doubled down on that view, saying Virgil van Dijk should lead the play on the ball, but no. In the game against France, he passes it sideways. So, Gertrude, you do it. He doesn't take any responsibility on the ball. He plays so secure, so safe. He's part of the team of the year, right? He got his nice award, right? Then show yourself to us if you're still worth it. Everyone believes he still is, but I don't. Virgil van Dijk responded to this criticism saying, this is all noise, this is of no use to me. Everyone is allowed to have their own opinion these days. That's the case. Let's welcome in, shall we? Ian's with us, but forgive me, Ian. I'm going to start with former Dutch international Mario Malkior. He's with us. Mario, what's wrong with your lot? Why are they being so mean?
Oh, look. They just give their opinion. I know both of them. Because, I mean, and both of them are guys that are more Amsterdam-based. And we know how it works, right? When you come from a capital, you speak out a little slightly different. Virgil is from down south. He's like, the way he speaks as well, the way you respond to the criticism that they gave him. He was very diplomatic and, you know, and spoke really well. He doesn't want to have a go at them because there's a kind of, you know, the Dutch icons, you know, Van Basten and Gullit, clearly. And what they said they want more responsibility of him because he's the captain of the national team. I think that is the biggest focus we have to have. Why? Because the team is not as stable as we would like it to be. And I think that is the biggest question and the biggest thing we have to answer because that is what the responsibility has been put on Van Dijk. And sometimes they feel like he hides away from it. And that is the biggest one. I saw a little piece in the English report that said arrogance. He didn't know. They didn't. One person mentioned that, but it was none of them to say that.
What do you think, Craig? It doesn't seem particularly helpful.
I don't think they're bothered about being helpful.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched you boys yesterday, and it makes even less sense today, particularly Van Basten's statement, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just utter nonsense. I mean, these are the two guys that, when Gullit was managing Chelsea, got his mate Van Basten in, whose career was over because of his ankle, and they biffed David Rocastle to go and play with the reserves. David Rocastle, who had won titles, was one of the best midfielders in England at the time, no longer with us. That tells you all you need to know about. And the other pros were like, that's...
Right.
That's... You're doing that? So they don't care. They don't care. They're arrogant. And look, Stevie mentioned it yesterday, he's not been at his best. No. And maybe he does need to take a bit more leadership or whatever. But that's just, I mean, there's analysis and then there's character assassination.
Yes.
And I think that's the latter.
That's the thing, Mario. Yeah. It seems personal.
Yeah, but what Craig just said, I'm not a fan of that. You know why? Because I feel like the guy's having a go at him. But look, he comes at Liverpool. The team is not playing great, right? So you already, his confidence, they were talking about his confidence. It's not going to be skyrocketing when he came from Liverpool when they were winning so much. That's kind of normal because we talk about those games a lot ourselves. So that's one. And then it comes down to the national team of Holland. The national team of Holland, he has a lot of young boys. Geertruiden made his debut, coming from Feyenoord because they, the leaders in the league at the moment. So coming from Feyenoord is a tricky moment. Timber, the one from Ajax, that normally you understand that Ajax is playing the fluential, the way we are built, the way we play football. His way of playing is they want him to go more forward, take more risk. But I always said that before. Sometimes we also have to understand that we are a small nation, but we like to look at Barcelona. We love to look at Brazil, all those kind of nations. But guys, come on. Sometimes we also have to say to ourselves, you don't have a better player than Van Dijk at the moment. Eh? So it's not like they can say like, oh, we're going to pick somebody else in Holland and select another player that's going to give us more than Van Dijk can give us. No. And with that, yes, I don't agree with that part, because he is clearly still now, the defenders are coming in the team now, I want to play with him, and it's not the other way around.
Ian, are you surprised how scathing these attacks have been?
No, not at all surprised, because one thing I've learned about Dutch footballers and Dutch football is they're hard-hitting and they say what they think. It sometimes causes them problems in camp on the way to World Cups. I'm sure Mario will understand it perfectly, but let's get it right. Virgil van Dijk has been one of the greatest defenders in Europe in recent seasons, if not the very best. OK, since his injury, he maybe have lost half a yard of pace, but you know, just recently, since he came back in the Liverpool team, I think I'm right in saying, I checked it before I came on air, they've conceded only one goal in the last six Premier League games. So he's still very, very good. But I don't know. I don't play with him. I don't know what kind of leader he is. That's something that perhaps is from the inside of the Dutch camp.
And you mentioned it yesterday. No, strangely enough, no mention of the manager.
Oh, yes.
No. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mate.
No mention of somebody who might be a more difficult target because of the era that they played in and played with them. I mean,
they had a go at him too, though, Greg. They had a go at him too for the system he's playing. Yeah,
because everyone.
Because you know what the thing they said, like, you know, the system they were playing before was like 3-4-3 when, you know, with Van Gaal. So he changed it. He came out at the start when he took the job. He said, no, we're going to change it. We're going to play 4-3-3. This is how we're going to play. This is how I want it. I want it different. He kind of tried to change it. So they had a go at him that he should stop picking out his way of playing and should adapt it to whatever game he's facing. So sometimes, because he's known for playing, what is it, 3 at the back, played maybe 5 in the middle and 2 up front, he is known for doing those changes too. And they, from Basse said and Gullit said, like, no, he should not make that out. Look, what you guys are saying, look, those are iconical guys from our country. And it's normal that they're going to say certain things about how they want the football to be played. And they, one thing they mentioned, and they have to know that, look, and Ian said it, in Holland, sometimes I ask myself, when I was playing for Holland too, I said, does the nation really want us to do well? Or do they want to see us fail? Because they were going at us sometimes. But hey, this is football, guys. You know, look, all you sitting there, you are familiar with it, and you know how it goes. When they want to go at you, they don't hold back.
But that's the very reason why they shouldn't be. You know,
because they know what it's like.
Exactly. You know, Craig and I playing for Scotland, playing in England, we knew that if things went wrong, the Anglos, we were called Anglos, were getting the blame. And so you would kind of go out your... If anybody asks me about the Anglos, no, I kind of go out my way to avoid that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's no... How... Van Basten started this tirade with...
Yeah.
He's good in the dressing room, but tactically and technically not. I mean, seriously, yeah. How can you be taken seriously? Or how do you think people are not going to think you're just having an attack when you start off by saying that? I mean, that is just ridiculous. That's nonsense.
Yeah. No, look, I had my conversation with Van Basten too. So, you know, like, I made it clear too how I had my debate with him when I got selected for the national team. Because Van Basten made his comment. I said to him, like, when he selected me for the national team, I made it very clear. I said, look, we need to talk first before I'm coming. Why? Because those are the kind of reasons. Sometimes Holland, we want to play a different way. I like attacking football, but I don't want to be exposed. And I think at the moment now, Van Dijk, that is the discussion he's having in his own brain, because he doesn't want his back line being exposed. And I think that is the thing that they clearly don't want to pick up in Holland, because they don't want to understand that. And the way we want to play, I get it. We want to play the beautiful football. We don't want to win games by just winning, eh? So just to make sure that everybody understands the Dutch culture, we don't want to win 1-0, 2-0 and just say like we won the game. No, We need to win the game and play the most beautiful football in the world. That's our biggest focus.
So, if I can just add, so many times we talk about Dutch national teams, the quality that they do have, and how they always seem to self-destruct. And this really leans into that. Because even if everything that Van Basten and Hullet is saying about Virgil van Dijk is absolutely true, if everything they're saying is 100% true, and you are trying to help the player, you are trying to help the national team, there's a way you freeze it.
Sure.
There are things you avoid. Hullet saying he won his award, didn't he? Yeah. I mean, I have absolutely no idea what purpose that is to serve, other than, as the boys have been saying, to frame this as an attack. It's an attack on a very talented player who's having a rough time, who comes into a national team, given the successes at the World Cup. Their mate, the new manager, changes the formation. He can't find the same passing lanes into midfield and has a little bit of an issue adjusting early on. Holland are 1-0 down after 90 seconds. They're two down in the eighth minute on the back of a goalkeeping error. Mm-hmm. And at that point, the entire Dutch team are like, they're caught in headlights.
Yep.
How you put that fully down to Virgil van Dijk is beyond me. And again, even if it were, and you are trying to help one of your most talented players, one of the most talented players of a generation, there's ways you say exactly that. There's ways you help him. This does nothing but, again, feeding into that Dutch self-destruction.
They just wanted a target, didn't they?
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah.
They wanted a target. They wanted to make a noise. They wanted to make a splash. And they needed a target. Look, he has been... And I think he'll be smarting from this because
of course he would, yeah.
Because I've noticed it with some of the criticism that he's had at Liverpool when he's after match interviews.
Yeah, he's bit back a bit, hasn't he?
He's bit back a little bit, you know, about, you know, and you think, all right, he's had a lot of praise, and rightly so. And he shouldered some of the blame in some sense because he's obviously the best defender they've got at Liverpool and he is the captain. But he was smarting a little bit from it. But I think it was criticism about his performances. This is a whole new level, isn't it?
Yes.
Just nonsense.
Yeah, I think the thing is, it strikes as being very personal. Looking at Van Dijk in the big picture, as Ian mentioned, Mario, I think a couple of years ago, many would have him as the best defender in Europe. Where would you put him now? Let's get your top five list, shall we, of centre-backs as it stands. Where would he be on that list? You've got him in at number five.
Yeah, also because the reason why I put him there is not because I don't like Van Dijk or is it something personal. Look, I like him as I think he's the best player. It's like what we just mentioned, like his journey coming into where he is. Beautiful journey, how he captures himself. Because in Holland, he wasn't highlighted as one of the top teams. Then takes his journey himself, goes to Celtic, comes to Southampton, goes to Liverpool, and then took it by storm. What a player he became. The other ones, you understand, I also look at the ones that you look at the time of now, you understand? And if I look at Rudiger, I put him as number one because that's one of the players that I would like to play again, you know, next to. Because I think, like, he does so much work and, you know, like, it's almost like you sometimes can stand next to him and just have a small cigar. It's the same what I had with Van Dijk if I would have put him at number one back in the days. Just a small cigar, just play easy because he does all the job. And I think that's just... slightly coming down on Van Dijk, but if you're in my top five, I still qualify you as one of the best defenders in the world. So yes, Van Dijk belongs in that group, I feel.
But I tell you what, I know he's old, but I would put above most of them, I would put Thiago Silva.
He's been the one highlight, hasn't he, for Chelsea.
I mean, you just want out and out defending and reading the game. Still got a good pace.
Yeah.
You know, I know you mentioned, was it Botman yesterday? I mean he's not at that level. He's not at that level yet, I don't think. But certainly Thiago Silva. You know, when you're looking at defenders.
Yeah. Anyone, Stevie, else you chuck in there?
No, I would switch Thiago Silva with Marquinhos.
Yeah.
But I think right.
What about
the
two Arsenal boys? One of them. What about Saliba?
Saliba, yeah. Well, yeah. I think if you look at this list, pretty much we're talking about a period of time. You know, Saliba's been great this season.
Right.
So I think it's a little early to turn around and say he should be in the top five. You know, all of these guys, including Silva, if you put him in as well, have had a significant amount of time where you can say, without any argument, they're one of the best in Europe. So, yeah.
Where are you putting Sula?
Shula.
Say what? Let's talk around in this as well.
Where's the bin? Where's the bin?
Ian, over there. Ian, do you want to chuck us your two pennies as well?
Well, I'm surprised that you've got Antonio Rudiger at number one, because he's had a lot of criticism around Madrid this season. I mean, yeah, if you're talking about the last few years, definitely. I mean, you wouldn't argue with Rudiger even on the telephone, would you? He's that kind of hard. You know something? I wouldn't have him as number one this season, for sure, because I think he's had a bit of an iffy start, if I'm honest with you, with Real Madrid. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, Van Dijk, he probably is four or five at the moment. But I think over the last 4 or 5 years, he's pretty much number one.
Yes,
but
I agree.
To Ian's point, in that entire list, how many of those players over the last two or three seasons haven't come in for significant periods of criticism, including Marquinhos, probably the only one being Thiago Silva, the only one who's not been criticised over the last few years. So, and listen, I sympathise with Van Dijk, the period he's going through, the criticisms that he's coming under. But we know how good a player he is. If we were starting a club right now and had to build around a centre-back, Van Dijk would most certainly be very high in that reckoning because you know how good he can be. Maybe just needs that fresh start, just some kind of a change.
Van Dijk, of course, the exception along with Stephen Nicol. When it comes to Player of the Year, not many defenders pick up that award. No defender, according to our boys, are going to win it this year either. When we ask for their nominations, Erling Haaland, of course, in his goal-scoring form, is the winner for most, with the exception of Don and Mr. Mario Malchios going away from Erling Haaland, but going for Bukayo Saka. Why? What have we got against Haaland, Mario?
No, look, Haaland, there are some disputes that the guys, Haaland is definitely, of course, a person I thought about. But I like Saka. You know what is the situation with Saka? It's 13 goals, 10 assists, and your team is leading the charge and you're being chased by the other that we just mentioned, Haaland, that is having an incredible season too. But I come out from this kid is going out... when he came from the Euro, missing the penalty, going through that system, people don't understand sometimes the mental strength that you have to go against almost your whole nation going against you, and then capable of delivering a season like this so far. Yeah, I mean, this is not a player that you want to face on a one-on-one, and even for opening games up for you. And I think he has everything that you want as a winger at the moment. So that's why I picked him.
Has Mario convinced you, Ian?
No, not really. I mean, he's right. Bukayo Saka's been fantastic. And you saw another exhibition from him the other night. That goal he scored against Ukraine, cutting in onto his left foot and just drifting a beautiful shot into the roof of the net. That's the kind of thing he's been doing. In a normal year, I think he would possibly be a big contender to be Footballer of the Year, and he will get a few votes. But you can't argue with Erling Haaland's figures. He's got 42 goals. He's broken the all-time record for scoring in a season by Manchester City. That went back about 94 years. He's got 6 hat-tricks at the Etihad. He gets 5 goals in one game against Leipzig. I was there the other night. I couldn't believe the speed of his reflexes around the penalty area. Anything that was loose, he pounced on it, stuck it in the back of the net. But, you know, is he going to be fit this weekend? He's missed the Norway games. He's got this groin injury, so he might not be fit to face Liverpool.
You could put up, and I think Don was, you could sort of put up an argument how the other two boys, Odegaard and Saka, have been superb, and they have. But it's just the sheer volume of goals, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not necessarily his performances all the time, because in some games he's been quiet. But it's the sheer volume. It's just incredible.
If you take Erling Haaland out of City's team, are they anyone close to winning the Premier League?
Well, they did win it last year.
I don't think
without
that,
him.
That wasn't this year.
Well, last year they won it without him. They seem to manage.
Okay, well, let's take all his goals away then. So.
Well, they'd find a way, wouldn't they?
Jesus, who got, 12? So you're only about 20.
Well, Hessings wasn't playing for the centre, was it? It was like Foden was playing for the centre.
Sorry, you're only 20 short.
But they still...
They're only 20 shots.
I knew it wasn't good for you to sit on there. It was a bad schoolboy era, you sitting over there.
The thing is, I sympathise with trying to make an argument for one of the Arsenal players, just because of how good Arsenal... How much of a surprise Arsenal have been this season. We knew Haaland was going to score goals. I don't think anybody really recognised how many, but I don't think anybody knew that Arsenal would be sitting top of the table come April. And that's where they are. So I understand the want to make that argument, But just Haaland's numbers, you just can't deny.
Dan's denying it.
I'm staying entirely out of whatever,
Dan's denying it for some reason.
Was going on over there.
Trying to be clever again.
I'm not being clever. You said they won't win the tie without Haaland. They won last year without Haaland.
You're lucky that doesn't reach.
Why doesn't it reach? What's happened to it?
They won four of the last five titles without Haaland.
Yeah, thank you, Ian. Yeah, five titles the last 6 years.
Don't Ian, we were just about to move on.
Ian, facts don't count.
No, forget that.
As Ian mentioned, of course, it's Liverpool against Manchester City this weekend. For a lot more on that game, be sure to check out our YouTube channel. Plenty of content there, not only looking ahead to the weekend, but reflecting on some of those international ties.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Right then, let's talk Spurs, shall we? More bad news for them. Paratici's 2.5-year ban has now been extended to the whole of football by FIFA. Remember, it was supposed to be just for Italy. This is the sporting director at Spurs. It is now being expanded worldwide. Spurs currently sitting fourth in the table, and this is really the big talking point when it comes to a Champions League race. According to the bookies, they are favourites still to take that spot. No, in fact, Newcastle are favourites ahead of Spurs, Liverpool and
Paratici. Why is this problem with Paratici bad news?
Well, because it's just another headache you don't need, do you? Well, you've got all that faffing around now.
Well, he's the guy who's supposed to have been bringing in the players.
Yes.
The players that Conte moaned about, said they weren't good enough.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, it's just a mess. Is that fair? Is that all right? Can I say that?
Yeah, but I don't... Well, it's definitely a mess behind the scenes.
Yeah, having a sporting director that can't do his job is a problem, I would suggest.
Well, according to the aforementioned Conte, he hadn't been doing it particularly well anyway.
Well, maybe the new manager will come in and be happy with Paratici, but now he can't do anything.
Well, it's not going to affect the players on the field.
No, and obviously,
between now and the end of the season.
And then that's where I'm kind of trying to lead this conversation. Like, looking ahead between now and the end of the season, are Spurs going to finish in the top four?
Yes. Yes. Harry Kane's goals.
Right.
A break from having that whining manager.
Yes.
And also, maybe this Stellini and the other coaches will let the reins off a little bit.
Okay.
Instead of playing this stoic, you know, horrible pedestrian football until they go 2-0 down or 1-0 down and it's a second half. And then we've seen an exciting Spurs because they've had to be. Maybe we'll see that a bit more. And that'll be beneficial to them.
Ian, what do you think?
Well, Newcastle have played two fewer games and they've got Tottenham at home still to play. So I think Newcastle are the worthy favourites. I've got the feeling they're just going to start running back into form a little bit as well, Newcastle. I think Tottenham's interesting. I mean, I think Craig's hit on a point there. With Conte now out the door and Stellini in charge, they know where they're going the rest of the season. Maybe that might refocus them. I think things had got pretty toxic. I'll be very interested to see how they play away at Everton, which I think is the Monday night game this coming weekend. How much have they got about them in a game like that where Everton, again, are going to be really bearing their goals and bearing their teeth for Sean Dyche because they're fighting, as you well know, at the other end of the table. So that's an interesting one.
Mario, what do you think? Do you think they regret getting rid of Conte?
No, yeah, of course. I mean, look, you don't want a manager that doesn't want to be there. That's for anybody. I mean, like all the players that were there, they could back the manager. But if the manager is not happy to be there, you got to let him go and pick somebody else. The only thing now that comes up, if they're going to be capable of getting to that spot, is also going to be like, how are they going to bounce from getting someone new in? When they have that answer right, because normally, oh, look, every player we know, they play, some they were playing very good, continue their stride, but also some that were knocked down and were maybe on the bench or not even part of the squad, have an opportunity now. And if they can perform to the better, then it becomes a better situation. And if it's not, you know, I don't see Spurs, because I had Spurs, and I think in the beginning of the season, I had a feeling I could hit it to the top four.
It's impossible to figure out how they're going to play those balls. Listen, when Conte was away, we talked about the same sort of thing. Well, the fact that he's not actually there, will he relax and play? Well, they did for one game, and then he turned around and lost to Sheffield United in the FA Cup. So because they don't have a manager now, and we're looking at the coaches just seeing it through to the end of the season, it's impossible to figure out which Spurs you're going to get.
What would you bet?
I would bet they'll win enough games between now and the end of the season that they'll take the fourth spot.
Do you think so, ahead of Newcastle, despite that too?
I don't... There's far more experience in the Spurs side for a start, and I'm not so sure the Newcastle are ready to catch fire the way they did. They surprised us big time the way they were playing for that incredible spell.
Yeah.
I don't see them replicating that. I think Spurs are, like Craig, they'll be top four.
What does the mayor of Newcastle say?
I think Newcastle finished top four.
Of course.
I think
win the Champions League, the World Cup, the whole
We're going to do it all. Going to win six trophies between now and then. Listen, I think Newcastle's dip in form came because they simply weren't scoring enough goals, and that was because Isak was injured. As soon as Isak got back fit and is now playing 90 minutes again, you see the uptick in that form. As long as he stays fit between now and the end of the season, I don't think there's any doubt Newcastle finished top four. They've shown how stingy they are.
No doubt.
Wow.
It's a bit
no
tight for no.
No doubt.
No doubt. Ian, if Daniel Levy called you and said, who should I appoint as the new permanent manager, who would you say?
Well, I think there's going to be a big merry-go-round, isn't there, this summer around Europe as well, because the word is that Carlo Ancelotti, the big job at Real Madrid, he might be going off to manage Brazil. In any case, maybe they think that amicably it's kind of like the end of the line because they're not going to win the Spanish title. You've got a good list up there of the kind of people who will be involved. But, you know, Nagelsmann, is he going to be another Mourinho and Conte? He's very much his own man. You know, are they going to have him? Is that going to work as well? He's obviously a talented individual. But does he want to go to Tottenham? I mean, a lot's going to depend, isn't it, on whether they do make the top four, because the kind of guys you've got on that list will want to be managing in the Champions League. So, I don't know. I mean, Luis Enrique's put out a statement, hasn't he, today saying, yeah, he'd love to be in the Premier League, but not for any team. I don't know what that meant. Was that like not Tottenham or...
Yeah, he wants to win things, didn't he? That was pretty much what the quote said.
I particularly enjoyed the Arne Slot bemusement yesterday.
This is what Luis Enrique said. I'd like to go to England to work, but I don't see myself in the Premier League in July because I would like to go to a team there that can do important things, and that is very difficult. I would not go to any Premier League team.
Oh, big time
Spurs.
Style, yeah.
Spurs brackets. Arne Slot confused us a little yesterday.
I mean, who doesn't know who Arne Slot is?
I apologise, Mario, to your fellow countrymen. I had no idea who Arne Slot was, who was in the betting as well.
He's doing really well in Holland. He's playing the football that actually Ajax is a little bit jealous of because he's at Feyenoord. And there are the big rivalries of Ajax. And his team is leading the charge at the moment. So that's why everybody's talking about it. Why? Because he's clearly one of the best coaches we have now in Holland. And there's no doubt about it, because the way he puts his team down, it took him a long time to get Feyenoord to where it is right now. And the way they play football. And of course, the rivalry game, what was between Ajax and Feyenoord beat them in a way that normally I have played so many years at Ajax, and whenever I played Feyenoord, we always felt very confident. And in this game, leading up to it, Ajax still said the same thing, and they got beat.
Wow. There you are, Stevie.
Hey, if he's that good, give him the Dutch job.
No, not yet, my friend. Because Koeman had the job before. He had the job before. They did really well, eh? So don't get it wrong. He had the job before. Then Van Gaal came in because Koeman got the Barcelona job. Yeah. And he always said that, I would take the Barcelona job no matter what. So when they came to him, he took that job. He couldn't. They already disputed. Well, that, they had that conversation already before. And then, now you say explode, they will not give it to him straight away because Koeman had his team running really well before Van Gaal came in.
That was another mystery how he got that job.
Mario, who would you choose as the next Spurs manager?
Spurs manager?
Oh, yes.
Man. I didn't like the situation Pochettino left. So I was at the final when I watched the final, and I never understood why they let him go. So if I could pick it, yeah. You know, Spurs is always a sensitive thing, Dan, you're asking me, because this is just...
Why can no one give me a straight answer when I ask this question? Who would you have, Mario?
Pochettino I will pick.
Pochettino, there we go. Perfect. Just a reminder, if you ever miss a show, you can download our daily podcast, which is available every single day over on the website. Not only, of course, do you have the show, but also bonus content there as well.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It's the Clásica this weekend. Bayern Munich against Borussia Dortmund. So many subplots going into the tie. Of course, the main one being Thomas Tuchel's first game in charge of Bayern after the sacking of Nagelsmann. Now, coverage starts at 12 on ABC. However, at 11:30 on ESPN+, our preview starts. Be sure to check it out. Of course, on show in that game will be a certain Jude Bellingham, who comes in as our number one pick when it comes to under 21 players in the world. He, according to our judges, is the best at the moment. You can check out the reasons over on the website. Here's the top five that we've got: Bellingham, Pedri, Saka, Musiala, and Gavi. I tell you what, it's not bad, Ian. Are you happy with that order?
It's pretty good, isn't it? I think Jude Bellingham is developing, isn't he, into almost the complete midfield man now. He's dynamic. He can do the defending part of it. He can score goals. He can set up goals as well. He's pretty good in the air, as we saw at the World Cup. So I probably would agree with him at number one. A guy I think I'd have in the top five would be, especially having seen him the other night playing for France in Dublin. He played a beautiful game. Eduardo Camavinga of Real Madrid. I think you've got him somewhere like number six, but I think he'd be in my top five at the moment. I think he's a smashing player.
Nothing to do with us.
Sorry?
It was nothing to do with us.
No.
In case anybody starts shouting, there's been enough shouting about Ronaldo this week.
Right, come on, 21, surely.
How old is Giorena?
Sorry?
How old is Giorena?
Why?
Because his dad wanted him at top five.
Comedians in the house.
Can't resist it.
Are you happy with that order, Stephen?
Yeah, that's fantastic. Some talent.
Two English players in there as well.
Yeah.
It's exciting, isn't it?
I bet you're going to waste them, that international
team.
Shaq? You're seeing not the ability.
Yeah, I have absolutely no problem with that top five. Camavinga, maybe for Gavi, but as Ian suggests, but outside of that, I don't think I'd argue with it.
Yeah, Mario?
Yeah, I think it's a top list, you know. Bellingham? Man, being so young and being a captain and leading the line in a different country, people don't always realize how difficult it is. But for a kid to come up and the way he is, if you see him playing for England too, his confidence is on another level. And, you know, in Germany as well, the way he leads the line, he holds that band. Yeah, you want a guy that leads your line to be like him. Confident, sure, and knows exactly what he needs to do to get the best out of his players. That's the feeling he gives me.
Derek's been on the phone.
Oh, what's happened?
Happy with the Borussia Dortmund selection, but Musiala
right.
has to be number one.
He has to, yeah. He has to be number one.
I mean, he is a terrific player, but yeah.
What's maybe surprising, if we were to ask someone to compile this list maybe 18 months ago, Ansu Fati, I think, would be a lot higher than where he is at the moment, which is 12. A player that we expected to burst on the scene once again this season post-injury, but has done anything but that. This is what his father had to say about his lack of playing time. If it was up to me, I would take him to another team. But Ansu wants to stay at Barcelona. He does not want to sign for another club, but I want to see him succeed. As a dad, I'm angry. Seeing Ansu play so little winds you up a little bit. And sometimes I think as a father, not a coach. Ian, what's interesting with that quote is that Ansu Fati has been given chances by Xavi, maybe not a long run in the team, but maybe justifiably so, because what he's offered hasn't been very much.
Well, he had that long-term injury, didn't he, that kept him out for a long, long time. So it's been a difficult road for him since he kind of exploded on the scene as a 16-year-old. And everybody said, this is the next wonder boy who's going to really make it big. But the injuries have knocked him back. I don't think he has had many realistic chances this season. He keeps coming off the bench. He's not first choice. It's everybody's fit. Dembele plays one side and you'd think probably Rafinha the other side. So Fati's coming on and playing, trying to inject a little bit of pace maybe and tempo, or try to rescue a situation in the last 5 or 10 minutes. So, you know, I mean, you've got a lot of professional footballers with you tonight and they'll know that that's a very difficult situation from which to make an impact. So maybe a move, and they do need to sell players still, Barcelona, to get players off their wage bill. Maybe a move is the right thing for him.
I think he might have been hoping at the time that Ousmane Dembele was going to move on, which it looked like.
But he's been injured quite a bit, and even then he still can't get a game.
No, and they brought Rafinha in as well. And he has started, you know, I don't know how many games, but he just hasn't been his old self.
No.
We've seen little moments, but no real consistency there.
But we've got to remember, before he got injured, he was an up-and-coming player. He wasn't, he wasn't a veteran. He wasn't a guy that was first on the team sheet. He was a young player learning his trade.
Yeah.
And so...
And he was given the number 10 shirt, obviously.
But was he ready for it? I don't think so. I don't think he was ready when he got injured that he was one of the first players on that team sheet. As I said, he's learning his trade. And so when he comes back and he's now fit, we all expect him to be the guy where he left off, showing us some magic. There was always questions about, could he do that from the first minute to the last because of a lack of maturity? And then, of course, when you go out and sign Rafinha, you bring in Torres, you've got Dembele. So, if you're Xavi, then these guys are in front of him.
I think right. If he was 23 or 24...
Move on.
I would be saying, look, you need to be the man playing regular. But I think at 20 years old, and coming off the back of the injuries that Ian mentioned, with the squad he's got there, with the manager, I think a wee bit patience. You know, 12 months' time, see where they are. If it's not working out then, maybe look...
I think the issue is he's not found himself so far down... The starting list for Barcelona, a team that you have to win something, especially given their own financial situation. You don't really have the luxury of nursing Ansu Fati back to full fitness. And even so, even then, it's about developing a player, developing his confidence. So the difficulty is you have a young player, 20 years old, coming off the back of a very bad injury, struggling for confidence, and you can't afford to give him the kind of game time he needs. Do you uproot him to go to a different country at a big club? Do you keep him in Spain at a smaller club? It's just a really difficult one for everybody to manage.
Just a reminder, extra time is always available over on our YouTube channel. Be sure to check that out. The boys stay late to answer some of your questions.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Lionel Messi made it 100 international goals as Argentina. We didn't score them all against Curaçao. He's got a hat-trick as they thrash Curaçao by 7-0. That's going to upset the Ronaldo fans.
They should have goal of the day for that, wasn't it?
It was one-way traffic, as you would expect, I suppose, considering the gulf between these two sides. We talked about this before, Shaq. Do you have a problem with Argentina running up the score here?
No, I don't. You're playing international football, Argentina playing at their best, put on a show. I have no issue at all with it.
102.
Did we put Ronaldo's graphics up yesterday?
We didn't show the goals. We didn't do anything yesterday. So they're going to get very angry. 102 goals at international level. Not bad, Mario.
Oh, my God. This is some serious. We don't have to compliment them in the ability and the quality that he has. But I just saw him doing one sprint that people said, maybe he doesn't have that speed anymore. He left that defender by speed and just the control in the box on the first goal. Guys, we're talking about a guy that is clearly still to me, if I play, is one of the players I would never want to play against, because that guy will give me some sleep nights. Oh, man, I would stay awake for 3-4 nights just by having that moment to play against him because he's that good.
I honestly thought he would win it after the World Cup.
He's loving it, though. You can just see him wandering around.
Why are we telling Ronaldo to retire?
It's double standards.
It's damn.
It's don't play it.
Double standards on this FC show with two players.
Yeah, it's disgusting. It's
horrible.
It's horrible.
Dan, personally.
Yeah, blame me. Blame it. It was Ian. Ian wanted to talk about it, didn't you, Ian?
Yeah, well, I'll be amazed, but it could happen, couldn't it? Imagine Messi playing another World Cup at 39 and wondering about the other 10 doing all the work, giving him the ball, and he can still turn it on. I wouldn't rule it out.
No.
Oh, look at the cheeky glint.
I think
Ronaldo's got 120, I believe. I think it's 120 against 102, so there's still there.
Oh, man. Somebody better warn that the Ronaldo fans will be on to him if he breaks that.
We just need to play that team a few more times.
Yeah,
what's the name?
Curaçao.
Play Curaçao, yes.
Small country in the Caribbean. Dutch country,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh.
The Curaçao, Dutch connections.
Get Koeman managing that.
You're going too far now, man. He will go down the beach, but he will not manage them, I think.
Do these games help anyone?
One of the great mismatches in world football, isn't it?
They clearly have Lionel Messi. He's scoring hat-tricks and breaking records. Listen, I think always the big issue for smaller countries is getting meaningful games, and you take them wherever you can get them. If you're Curaçao and Argentina invite you to a game, you say yes every single time, regardless of what that's.
But is this where something like the CONCACAF Nations League gets in the way, for example, of the US men's development? Because surely they would get a lot more out of playing Argentina in a friendly than playing the teams that they have this week in.
Well, I'm sure the US would certainly think so. But to that point, I think the CONCACAF Nations League is still trying to figure itself out, because what was it last year? Might have been the first season, and I thought the seedings were all over the place. So right now you have three dominant countries in CONCACAF, or four if you include Canada, Jamaica, USA, and Mexico. And then after that, the seedings in the Nations League are a little bit hit and miss. And so, which is how you end up with US playing against Grenada in League A in CONCACAF Champions League. Grenada are not a League A team, but they're still trying to figure that out. That will.
So what do you do? Just have Mexico, Canada,
you'll have those
Costa Rica
four,
and those
you'll
four
have
in
those
the same
four,
group?
You'll have those four seeded teams. And I think in time, you'll get a better understanding of who the others are, who the other two teams
but
are.
But time doesn't necessarily help the US, are they? You've got the World Cup coming up in 26. They want proper matches. And they're not getting that from this
but
sort of
as, all right, to that point, as I said a couple of days ago, I don't think the US have done a good job in supporting CONCACAF and CONCACAF's development.
But is that their responsibility?
Yes, it is. That's their responsibility because the CONCACAF supports the US in their development. The CONCACAF, as a block, voted for USA, Mexico, and Canada to host the World Cup. The CONCACAF continues to support the USA hosting the Gold Cup every 2 years. And the money that they get from those tournaments goes into their development. Now, CONCACAF as a body can't continue to support their bids to host international tournaments. They're taking all the profits for their own development and none of it coming back down to the smaller countries. Now, the least you can offer if you're not offering financial support, if you're not offering technical support in terms of pitch development, in terms of light so they could host their own tournaments, at least play a game against some of the smaller nations in Nations League.
Jeez, you opened a can of worms there, didn't you?
Right, big time.
I've never seen him so upset.
I'm not upset. I'm just saying.
Very anti-US men's.
No, I'm not. I am not at all. I'm not at all upset. I've lived this. I've lived this. So I understand.
So
it.
US kind of have to help the other nations at a detriment to their progress on the pitch.
If the other nations are helping the US at a detriment to their own programs, then yes, US should do the same.
When have you ever been bothered about what happens to the US?
No, he's just trying to be smart.
All of a sudden, you've got a vested interest.
Stevie well, you've only just figured that out.
Stevie knows what he's like.
By the way, the smaller teams all need an avenue to get through. I mean, look at Spain.
Still not in CONCACAF. How do we get there?
No, but I'm just saying, it doesn't matter where you're qualifying. Small teams like Spain need an avenue somewhere. They can't even beat Scotland.
Ian, what do you think?
I covered the USA team when Jürgen Klinsmann was in charge, and with his European contacts and connections, USA found themselves playing Italy away, Belgium away, France. I think they won in the Netherlands and Germany on the same trip. And I think that experience helped in the 2014 World Cup when they were in a pretty rough group but got through to the knockout stages. I would worry about that. I understand what Xhaka is saying. You've got to look after the smaller sheep in the flock in CONCACAF. But you're right, Dan. I think for the USA, this is not an ideal preparation, having to continually play CONCACAF teams on their way to hosting a World Cup in 2026.
Well, the other thing you would say is that is maybe an issue for them, but they've got a lot more deep-rooted problems with the circus that was following them around and their management, their coaching, all the GMs, the sporting directors, call them what you want. It's just one thing after another, isn't it?
It most certainly is for them. Of course, coming up next is the CONCACAF Nations League semi-finals. They'll be in Las Vegas. Let's just confirm who the US have. They will take on Mexico. That's on June the 15th. And it's Panama against Canada.
I wonder who's going to get all the proceeds from that game in Las Vegas.
Wow.
To filter back into their own programs. I wonder.
Oh, Caesar's Casino? I don't know.
I'm just putting it out there.
Oh, right, I don't know, Jack. Are you running for president?
No, you got me started.
Wow. Oh, speaking of getting you started.
go on there. Show them.
I'll give them a call. You just wait.
On Football America.
What's Savvy's number?
Oh, there we are. He's asleep. be sure to check out the latest edition of the show, which is on Plus. That is it, then. That brings us to the end of today's programme. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Extra time is next. We're going to let Ian go. Mario will stay, though, to answer your questions. Nothing about CONCACAF, chat.
Oh, yeah.
We're okay.
Don't bring it up.
You just wait.
Or City. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you very much for your questions. Mario is here, as is Craig, Shaka and Stevie. Now, Stevie, on Sunday, you reminded me of a story that I don't think you've ever told on air. because I was going to a retro place with my kids, which got like pinball machines and the old 80s arcades.
Pinball.
And you were saying that you used to make money from playing pinball when you were growing up. Was that right? How did
I used to sell the games. So there was a little pool hall in Troon.
Right, where you grew up.
Yeah, where I grew up, and also had two pinball machines at the entrance to it. But it was through the back where the pool tables were. So I used to get in there early and rack up the extra plays. And then when somebody came in and wanted to play it, rather than put their money in the machine and play, they would give me the money. And the deal was that if they got two or three replays, then they could play them. But after they played their game, I was back in. I was back in pole position.
So you were a pinball wizard, Stevie?
Well, I wouldn't say that. I just had figured it out, and I figured out how I could make some money.
Wow.
I never thought I'd say this about you, but you're an entrepreneur.
Oh, big time. Big time.
Next Friday's going to be on Shark Tank with his pinball.
I've got this idea, and I want $250,000.
I had two choices. The choice was, as a 14-year-old, get up at stupid o'clock,
right,
do the milk,
yes,
milk run.
Yeah.
Make the money up selling pinball games. So I thought pinball games was a lot better.
Oh, you are, Steve. What pinball, do you remember what game it was?
I don't.
No, that's it.
It's like 45 years ago.
Yes, well, maybe a little more. Okay.
I'll tell you what, you're asking for it. Honestly. I would have loved, you know what I'd love to have done?
What?
Shove you back was our fact here.
Well, this is because you said that
no, you were just being stupid.
No, it's because you said City wouldn't win the
you
league without Haaland, and I mentioned that they won it last year without Haaland.
No, I don't mind you being clever most of the time.
Right.
But your timing was off tonight.
I mean, to be fair, you were 59 once.
Your timing was off, and it really annoyed me. And I would have loved to have knocked you off that.
I don't think you're allowed to do that, Stuart.
Well, I figured that one out.
Why would they sit you so close to me? I feel this is
I think it's going to be a learning experience.
Okay, right, let's try and get through this.
Could have been worse. You could have been sat next to Shaq when he was going on that spiel about CONCACAF.
Yeah, but Shaq hasn't got, like, an edge that Stevie does.
He did on that occasion.
Oh, yeah.
He got very serious, Shaq.
I was trying to stay out of it, but Dan just egged me on.
For Stevie, as you know, there's a massive game this weekend in Manchester. Ooh. What are your feelings towards Liverpool's chance of getting a result this weekend against City? And how important is this game for them maintaining a chance to finish in the top four?
Do you know what? I was absolutely distraught thinking about this game.
Oh.
And then Darkey threw me a bone.
Right.
When he said that Van Dijk's last six games, Liverpool have only lost one goal. Is that correct?
Well, Ian knows. He's a commentator.
It doesn't feel as though that's correct.
Right.
But Darkey's
didn't they play Real Madrid
and
concede
wrong.
Quite a few goals against them?
I guess he's talking about the Premier League, though.
Yeah.
Because that was at the forefront of my mind, what Real Madrid did to Liverpool at Anfield. And I'm thinking, if City knock the ball around with a bit of pace and sharpness at their best, the way they can, I'm a worried man.
So you're a worried man?
Aye.
So they lose this and that's it? Top four dreams are over?
Yeah. I don't... Listen, they've got City, and then they've got Chelsea away, and then Arsenal at home.
Yes.
And if they want the top four, they're going to have to win at least two of these three games.
Yeah.
And how much money are you putting on that?
Well, not much.
Correct.
Hey, Arsenal almost mathematically going to be in the top four, aren't they, Steve? You get to pay me the $50.
Aye.
That'd be nice. I'll put you in a good mood.
I can't wait.
Selling pinball tokens.
You'll get it. Yeah. You'll definitely get it.
Payment pinball tokens.
Definitely get it.
That's all right.
One way or another.
That's okay. Steve, you had to change his password today, didn't he? How did that go?
It's not completed.
I'm having some IT problems.
It's never a good sign when you walk by his desk.
I'm telling you, I'm jinxed. The guy was telling me what to do,
right.
The guy who's the expert,
right?
And I followed every single instruction to the letter.
Yep. What did he
and
ask
it didn't
you,
work. And it didn't work.
So Shagger, is this a PC or a Mac?
Hey, who's when I came in, he was doing that.
I was being very careful.
Mario, if you're starting a new club today and can choose any player in the world to start, who are you choosing? Mbappe, Haaland, Saka, Vinny Jr., Bellingham, or someone else? Wow.
In the world, who are you choosing? Mbappe. if you're signing a new plan today, you choose any player in the world to start. Mbappe.
Mbappe?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would take Haaland. I would take Haaland's goals.
Would you take Haaland over Mbappe?
Correct.
Oh.
I'd take Mbappe. I'm
yeah.
Mario.
I'd take Mbappe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stephen.
Ooh. Stevie.
Haaland.
Right.
Any problem with that?
Why Haaland over Mbappe, Steve?
Goals.
Goals.
You know
Mbappe
why we play the game?
Mbappe gets quite a few goals.
You know when you're a little, does he get as many as Haaland?
Well, I don't
is
know.
That, it's just a yes or no answer.
If he was playing for Manchester
it's just a yes or no answer.
If he was playing for Manchester City,
is it yes
maybe
or no answer?
City, maybe well,
if, let me tell you something. If he can't score more goals than Haaland and he's playing in Ligue 1, then, sorry.
Right.
I'll take Haaland. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay.
Oh, so you've not got an answer, no? There's a shock.
Hey, Stevie, what's wrong? I don't, what's happened to you in this chair?
It's not a chair. I can assure you.
Question for Stevie, oh dear. Will it not be better for Liverpool to switch Trent Alexander-Arnold into defensive midfield and buy a more defensively minded right back and make more impactful use of Trent's defensive and attacking skill set?
Well, no. No.
Stevie, stop coming so close.
I want to get close enough, just in case.
Well, it's my no, personal because, space.
Listen, we've all said the same thing. He can defend.
Right.
So why would you play him in a defensive midfield role? That makes no sense.
Okay.
So could maybe, you... Maybe you play him further up the park.
Would you play him left wing?
Why would I play him left wing?
Oh, right wing, whichever side he's on.
Yes, I think... Look, he's better from the halfway line forward.
Are you surprised he's never tried it? Ever?
A little bit, yeah, because he is particularly bad defensively. That if you were Klopp, you'd surely either he's thinking it or one of the other coaching staff are going, boss, we can't keep doing this. But they keep doing it.
While the US is caught up, whether Balogun will choose them, do you recall who scouted and wooed you the most to play for them? Congrats, Craig and Stevie, on the greatest victory for Scotland. As signal golf season has begun, a resounding aye for Stevie. So away from the congratulations for a result that you had no impact in, let's talk about who scouted you, Stevie. How did Liverpool woo you?
Liverpool had a contact in the region I lived in the west of Scotland, who was actually connected with Ayr United as well as Liverpool. So it was kind of pretty straightforward.
Right.
They just made a call and said, come and watch this.
Here's some pinball tokens.
Yeah, watch this. Ginger here. Yeah. Pale-faced Scottish guy.
There we go.
So it was pretty straightforward.
Internationally, England and Trinidad and Tobago wanted you, yes, sir? How did they woo you?
Woo you? I played in England, B International, got called up for the England senior team, but then growing up, I always dreamt of playing for Trinidad and Tobago, but I had this falling out with Jack Warner, and then Bertie Sinclair, who I still feel is kind of my footballing father, so to speak. I played under him through all the junior national teams. He got the senior job, and he called me and asked me to come back to play for Trinidad and Tobago. But for Bertie Sinclair, I wouldn't have gone because, as I say, myself and Jack Warner just had too contentious a relationship.
And have you mended those? That relationship?
No.
No.
I'm not bitter.
Do you want to mend them? Do you want to mend them?
You could only play for Scotland, yeah?
I don't want to mend them, Mario.
What? Only Scotland in your blood.
I believe so.
Yeah.
I never asked.
And how did Chelsea woo you as a 16-year-old to come down?
We used to go on trials.
Okay.
School holidays.
Did you go anywhere else?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, a lot of places.
Yeah.
Tottenham, Arsenal. Some lower division club, Stoke City, because at the time, because one of the thought processes was go to a smaller club and you maybe get a chance quicker.
Sure.
Rather than going to a big club and it's more difficult. In the end, I didn't do that.
Oh.
But I had a choice between Arsenal and Chelsea in the end.
Okay.
Both wanted me because I'd done really well at Arsenal.
Well done.
Trial.
Oh.
And they called me, my mum and dad, but for some reason I chose to go to the other side of London.
Mario, how young were you when you went into the Ajax Academy?
I was 9.
Wow. Flummin' heck. How was that?
It was cool. I mean, like, the opportunity you came across when I was playing for a local team, I didn't want to go to Ajax at the time because I clearly wanted to follow the path of my brother. And he was playing as a defender for a local team. So when Ajax came across and asked me to join them, I said no, because I wanted to stay and play for my local team. And then Ajax came again. They tried, what is it, three times maybe to get me over. So then I joined the trial, similar to what Greg said. They had a trial, like, they wanted me to join it. And I did it, and then played one or two games, and then they said, okay, come and join us. Then I joined them.
What position, Mario?
I was a defender because we played against them with our local team, and we kept beating them, and they could, and sometimes they would beat us. So there was kind of a balance. So I was as a defender, but at the back, I was playing similar to what we play on the street, right? You try to dribble the ball from the back and just doing like whatever you could do. And Ajax liked it because you were taking risk. And I mean, the way the football is built, Ajax is taking a lot of risk as a footballer.
When did you leave home to play, Mario? Obviously not at nine.
When I left home to play, I mean, I stayed home my whole career till I went to Chelsea.
Right.
So when
okay.
I went to Chelsea, I was like, what is it? Maybe I left Holland 21, I left.
Right.
What were your trials?
Well, St. Michael's Mullion, there was a lot of battle over the Thomas name.
There must have been a few Bob teams scouting.
Yeah, very much so. It was quite the battle, unfortunately. They couldn't afford it.
Injury.
Lack of skill, whatever it was. Mario, start bench sell. Ooh. Eto, Drogba, Van Persie.
Ooh.
Eto, Drogba, Van Persie. Oh my God, why you do that, man? Oh, okay. I would start Eto.
Oh.
Bench, Drogba is so dead. And then I have to, sorry, Van Persie. I have to let him go. You just have to sit. Yeah. Eto, man, guys, I don't know if you know about Eto, but I grew up with him, you know, watching him. Oh, what a player, man. I saw him one time in Miami at a pool. It's not a lot of players that I walk up to and go like, sir, you're an incredible player. And I shook his hand. And he was so kind, so nice. But what a player he was. Wow. And then Drogba, okay. And if a person can talk about them because they were all great. But this is my journey. Eto, Drogba.
I'm first. Wow, good.
I think I'll go with Mario.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
that's some choice, isn't
it? It's hard to. I think it's between Eto and Drogba, whoever you start.
Yes, right. I agree.
Yeah.
Van Persie was fantastic, but it's between them. There was somebody sent a question similar to this in.
Okay.
Once before, with Eto and Drogba. And I went with Eto then.
Mm.
But I tell you what,
wasn't Stevie's makeup artist, was it?
Tell you what, Drogba. You don't want anything to do with
Eto.
Either of them.
No.
Yeah, I don't think it's a debate. Yes. I think it's Eto all day, every single.
I thought the debate was the second two.
It was the second two. I've said this before. The best individual performance I've seen I've played against was Didier Drogba.
Okay.
We played Chelsea, Stamford Bridge. This was at West Ham. West Ham scored first. They had a man sent off, and then Didier Drogba just basically told the other eight players, you all stay back, just launch it forward, and I'll take it.
Yeah.
And it was the most unplayable performance I've seen from somebody for 90 minutes.
What did you do? Just stay in your line?
Yeah. Pick the ball out there. Pick the ball out net four times, to be exact. We lost 4-1 to 10 men.
Wow.
I agree with Saka, because sometimes you play against players, right? On their own, they can lead the line. And I have to say that Didier could do that. On his own, I had a time with Heskey, but Heskey couldn't score as much as Didier did. But Didier on his own. No one could be. I played against him too. Marking him, oh, the man had some strength. Mm. But Eto was quick, my brother. When Eto got the ball, ooh, one against one. I don't know how you can stop that.
Final question. So Kai Havertz has been vocal about his admiration for donkeys.
Oh, okay.
Which animal, other than dogs, does the panel admire? Wow.
Cats. I'm a cats guy.
Are you a cat?
I'm a cat
guy. You don't have any cats, do you?
No. My wife hates cats.
Right.
And wouldn't allow us to have cats, but I love cats.
Do you? More than dogs?
Probably.
Oh,
wow.
This is like Ronaldo. You're going to upset me.
Even growing up, I never had a cat, but I just love cats.
Really, Shaq?
Yeah, love cats.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Wow. What about you, Mario?
All day dogs, man. Dogs.
No, dogs aren't allowed. No, you need another animal. Dogs are not allowed.
Okay, then an eagle, you know, like a bird or something like that.
Is there one in the sky? What were you looking at, Mario?
Okay. Donkey.
Yeah.
Just pick an animal.
Yeah. Donkey? No, right. No, Stevie, what are you going for?
Horse.
Nothing.
No, sharks you hate, obviously, scared of them.
Nothing.
Well, a shark
nothing.
Not an animal, is it?
After
a
dogs.
An animal?
No.
You can't even trust cats.
No, they never come
that
to
cat,
you.
Obviously, they made it during COVID. What was the name of that cat?
Which one are you talking about?
The one that was on, that came on and started meowing. The last cat you had, the one that died.
Oh, Daisy.
Daisy.
That cat would scratch you in a second.
Okay, right.
I'm telling
That's
you.
That's because you trained it to.
I'm telling you.
Scratch you?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, we had that cat for 10 years, right?
Right.
At least. And when we got it, after about 20 minutes, I was like, get it out of the house. Wow. I couldn't go up the stairs. It was at the top of the stair and wouldn't let me up the stair. I'm like, I was going nowhere near it. And even as long as we had it, it would still scratch you. From nowhere.
Wow.
No, animals, not eggs.
No, just dogs.
Just dogs, not
That's
animals.
It.
I used to go around his house and the two big dogs he had at the time, no problem, but that cat, he just used to,
Aye.
Oh.
Yeah.
He used to just look at you.
Aye.
You'd be like, it's going to do something.
Can he trust cats?
Should have given it to Shaka. Shaka loves cats.
Yeah, I'd it.
Aye.
Yeah?
Yeah, that would have soon changed.
What about you? Do you have a penchant for any other animal apart from a dog?
Your penchant?
Penchant.
Penchant?
Penchant.
Well, you know.
I like a giraffe.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, like, South Africa.
Yeah.
What do you know about giraffes?
Well, I've seen them. They look nice, don't they?
Polar bears look nice, but it would eat
No, they don't look scary.
Josh.
Well, like giraffes are going to eat you, is it? Giraffes are going to eat you? What a silly comparison.
No, it's
what?
Not.
What, a giraffe?
A giraffe? What do you know about giraffes?
Well, I like looking at them. When I go to the zoo, we'll go to safari places. They're nice, aren't they?
Right.
Well, why is that? Why would that make you angry? I like giraffes.
Honestly. Get yourself a cobra. That's what you need.
Get what?
A cobra. Get yourself one of them. Nick. Yeah. Yeah, nice to look at.
Why would that make you angry?
You said preferably a man-eating one.
A giraffe.
A giraffe.
Seriously. Be on a bit.
I've never said so ridiculous.
I mean, if you'd said like a horse or something, some sort of animal that you can actually take care of, and
but
a giraffe.
There's a horse going to go in your
A giraffe.
Oh, there's a horse in the basement.
Plenty of people have a horse and put it in the stable.
This horse won't let me up the stairs.
And they go every day. And they clean it out.
Stood at the top of the stairs.
Just showing your ignorance.
What?
Just showing your ignorance.
Oh, goodness me.
You leave the door open, the horse comes in. You leave the door open, that's the thing.
You're just showing your ignorance.
I'm a straight horse.
Plenty of people got horses and they keep them elsewhere.
Oh, we have a horse at the table.
So if you said that about a giraffe, I would understand.
Oh, well, there we are. Good. I'm not here tomorrow, goodness. Okay, that is it. We are done. I don't think we should sit you there anymore, Stevie. It seems to bring out the
problem. I think
that's a good idea.
I think it brings out the worst in you.
Trust me, he's over
there.
It's chair,
it's you.
That is now your seat. Isn't it, Shaq?
Yes.
No,
yes, please.
I don't know. Let's see why.
Let's see. A giraffe?
Giraffe. How stupid.
But who's here tomorrow? Are you here tomorrow?
I'm here.
Oh, yeah, Shaka's here tomorrow. There, Sherry. Shaka and Kay.
Yeah, again?
See?
Yeah. That's 3 days of the trot.
Yes, sir.
Wow, Shaka. Oh. Yes, sir.
Hey, want the calf chat tomorrow?
There you are.